Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
Halloween safety. Of course, it's like the kids' practically favorite holiday of the year. They think about it from the day after it, and they're still eating the candy 6 months later. And it's nauseating, but it's so much fun for kids. And they really enjoy dressing up, going house to house. And while they can still do that, and they're still little enough to love dressing up and going around, we have to think about some safety issues that do surround Halloween. You know, I'm always worried about traffic and things. My guest is Dr. Corinne Cross. She's a pediatrician and one of our favorite guests here on Healthy Children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cross. Let's speak about some Halloween safety tips.
Yeah, Halloween is one of the best holidays for kids, and it should be a fun and safe holiday, but the one thing that we worry about is that Halloween is the number one time when children get struck by cars. Of injuries, pedestrian injuries by children. So what we want to make sure is that one thing that parents talk about is walking safely. We want to make sure that no one is darting between cars, that they're using crosswalks and sidewalks. So these are conversations that you have to have with your children before they go out. And you should have this with them whether you're going with them or whether you're not going with them. And that's a decision that all parents have to make. How old does a child have to be to go trick-or-treating by themselves? So you want them to go in groups and not by themselves. But younger kids definitely need to be accompanied by an adult, and sometimes multiple adults because they're hard to keep track of. And older kids, you want to know what route they're planning on taking, and you want to decide on what time they're going to be coming home.
Okay, so well, with the advent of cell phones, I think that, you know, might make parents a little bit more, and even GPS on cell phones, you can actually see with certain apps where your kids exactly are. But as a parent of an even 13-year-old, I'm still not letting him go alone.
Yeah, I mean, cell phones definitely do make it a little bit more comfortable. But you're right. When they're 13, they seem maybe old enough, but you have to know your child. When they're with a group of other friends, sometimes they're not using their best judgment. They may decide to cut across alleys, or everybody else is on the other side of the street and they just want to run across to meet
them.
That's
what scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the getting hit by a car.
Yeah, they don't use their best judgment. And so, you know, they're often in these dark costumes because, you know, goblins and ghouls are all dark, and people don't see them. So that's another thing to think about, is what are they going out wearing? And so the AAP recommends that they have bright, reflective costumes. Sometimes that's not exactly practical. Lots of kids want to be things that aren't bright and reflective, but there are ways that every costume can have something that's reflective about it. So even if your child wants to go as, like, you know, a witch that's all black, you can still reflective tape on their goodie bag. You can still give them a glow stick or a glow necklace or some glow bracelets. And those are always cool, so kids don't mind wearing them, but it makes them glow. So you just have to sometimes think outside the box, or how am I going to get this kid to be seen by motorists? And motorists that may be distracted and everything else. So, you know, having bracelets and that glow in the dark and flashlights, those are all really important. And you want to have all these things, you know, obviously loaded with batteries before they go.
Well, and okay, so flashlights, making your children glow, having the conversation if your children are going out on their own, you know, because they really do not make good judgments. They're eating the candy while they're doing it, so they're running around. I'm not as afraid of people putting things in candy, what we used to be afraid of in the 70s, as I am about that getting hit, you know, by a car thing. So, okay, they go out, you're with them, or you've decided that your children are old enough to go out alone, and you sit home and worry anyway. I mean, that's just going to happen. You're sitting home to worry. So what about things like costumes? And, you know, some people still light their pumpkins. So, again, right, these kids are not even thinking about it, and they're just walking past these pumpkins.
Right. So, I mean, we would prefer if people would use little votive candles or flashlights inside pumpkins. I think that is definitely much safer. And if they're not, you know, not everybody's having even jack-o'-lanterns nowadays, people can paint their pumpkins, or they have those things that almost look like Mr. Potato Head parts that you shove into the pumpkin. So, you know, there are safer ways that people can make their porches safer for these kids who are coming up and down, moving things that they're going to trip on and things like that. But then, yeah, you want to think about your own costume. So your costume could come in contact with a flame. So we want to make sure that the costumes are flame resistant. You want to make sure that they're short enough so that they're not tripping on them and they're not going near an open flame without them noticing. So you want to make sure that they can see well, so they're not wearing masks or hats that block their eyesight. You might think about using some face paint instead of a mask, which can look really cool. So there's lots of things you want to think about with their costumes. Some kids I've even seen with those strange, like, yellow eyes, and they have those decorative contact lenses, and that's very much a bad idea. First, sometimes the kids can't see very well, and they can have serious side effects, pain, inflammation, and infections in your eye. So you want to stay away from anything like that. Just on the thing with costumes is, you know, some costumes require a sword or something else to make the costume authentic. You want to make sure that that's not too sharp, but you also want to make sure that that the school is okay with them bringing anything like that to school. With all the things that have been going on with schools, schools are sometimes having a policy where they don't want any pretend weapons coming to school.
Well, and I can certainly understand that. Now, you know, kids are at school having these parties, Halloween parties, where it's the one time of the year they're kind of allowed to bring treats and have treats at school. And then they come home, they jump into their costumes right from school and run out to start eating. What about having a little bit of a healthier Halloween? Now, I will tell you, Dr. Cross, I was the raisin lady for a little while, and the teenagers looked at me and said, "For God's sakes, you've got to be kidding." And then none of them came around my house for a while. And because I thought I wanted to give out something a little healthier, I don't know, but how can we give our children a little healthier Halloween? Is feeding them beforehand, does that do any good?
Well, I think feeding them beforehand probably does help so that they're not so hungry that they're just going to devour all the candy. But the truth is, since most of these kids get tons of candy all the time, they're going to eat way more than they should on that day, no matter what. Even if you tell them we're only going to have X number of pieces, you know you're either going to be negotiating or they're going to be sneaking them later. So it's quite difficult. My mother also gave out raisins, and we too experienced the fact that nobody wanted to come to our house after that. So I understand the raisins. There are other things you can give out. People give out pencils and things that you can buy at, like, Oriental Trading Company. You can buy them in bulk, and so you can give out little
pencils, I love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Little tattoos, things like that. And those actually kids are happier to get, I think, than the raisins. And if you buy them in bulk ahead of time, you can often get them for the same price as you do for the candy, because the candy isn't inexpensive either. The other thing that you can think about is, okay, so they'll have one night of gluttony, and then what do you do with the candy afterwards? So you can ration it for, a couple of days and say, okay, you can have a couple of pieces a day for whatever it is, a week. But then usually what I do is after that week of Halloween is done, I take the rest of the candy and, you know, I either give it, the dentist collects it in our town, the fire department collects it in our town. So we usually then give away most of the rest of it. And so that's what we do with our Halloween candy. Also, to talk to your children, though, about, as much as we're not worried about people really tampering with candy like we used to, they shouldn't take anything that's unwrapped, and if the wrapper doesn't look like it's intact, they should just not eat that piece. And so that is something that we should tell our children, even though it's not a very high risk. Of course, you don't want to go to somebody's house and eat one of their cookies, although it's probably a wonderful cookie. You just can't be sure.
You just can't really trust that situation anymore, and that's kind of a shame, too, because I used to love those popcorn balls and the homemade cookies and mm-hmm. things. So just in the last 30 or 40 seconds for us, Dr. Cross, wrap up a safe Halloween, and for parents listening, besides giving it away to your local dentist and fire department, you can freeze some of it and use it in baking and use it in cooking and use, you know, Heath bars to make cookies later. And so, you know, you can freeze a little bit of it and use it for various things on through the year, but wrap it up for us now for a healthier and safe Halloween.
For a healthy and safe Halloween, it just requires a little bit of planning. So you want to make sure you've got the right costume. You want to make sure that you have something on you that's reflective. You want to make sure that you talk to your children about safe pedestrian activities. And then you want to make sure that you also have a plan just in case they get separated. You want to let them know where to meet and also how to call 911, just in case. And if you go over all these things with your children beforehand, you'll probably have an absolutely wonderful and delightful Halloween.
This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Stay well.